where strategy gaming meets good vibes. No stress, just critical moves. Welcome back to the Critical Moves podcast. Today we're going to be talking about the games of Paradox Interactive. I'm Al, and I'm joined by Nuno.
Hello, everyone.
And by Tim.
Good day, everyone. How are you doing now?
I'm hanging in there, man. You know, busy working, busy life, but always happy to make time to come and chat to you fine gentlemen about our favourite topic. Today, Paradox Interactive, one of the preeminent developers of strategy games, would you say?
That's fair, I think.
You think it's fair? Nuno?
I think so. They've seen better days. Their 2024 years was a rough one. They cancelled some titles. But yeah, I think that they had a long reign as the kings of strategy games for the last 10 years. I think it's fair to say that.
Okay. So Tim, why do you think that is?
Well, they brought something very unique and have done consistently so for so long now, and so varied at the same time when it comes to the different games, what they each focus on, and they give a unique complexity that the other games just don't, while still keeping it relatively approachable. You don't need a spreadsheet to play the game, but it gives you this depth that many of us, myself included, very much desire when we're thinking about strategy games.
But I guess there's a spreadsheet in the background, isn't there? I know you say we don't need one, but everything, the world runs on spreadsheets, and Paradox is no different. Yeah. So what's, you say that they're unique. What's so unique about them?
So for one, for sure, the complexity is a unique factor. I think other games try to be complex, but they fail in different aspects of that complexity. It has really good multiplayer, which is also very unique for like complex strategy games like this. Usually it's like either single player only, or the multiplayer doesn't work very well. But these games do have that multiplayer aspect as well, and communities built around that. It also has this thing where you can play a campaign for like a really long time and invest so much in one of those campaigns, and many of these other games don't last that long, I would say.
I think you're right. It's, as we discussed in the last episode, Stellaris, which is Paradox Interactive, is one of my second most played game on Steam, behind another Paradox game, which is Cities Skylines. But we're not going to be covering Cities Skylines today, because that's developed by Colossal Order and just published by Paradox. But Stellaris is my most played strategy game. And you're absolutely right. It's just, it's that sandbox appeal. You are given a setting, and you can do whatever the hell you like within the parameters which are set. I'll be honest, I'm not a huge fan of historical games. Other than the Rome, medieval, and Napoleon Empire Total War games, I've not really been that interested in playing historical titles. So games like Victoria 3 or Crusader Kings, they don't really appeal to me. As a huge fan of Stellaris, would those games work for me?
What I was going to say is that you mentioned the same historical timelines, or most of the same historical timelines that Paradox also has. But I think, since I'm the kind of guy that doesn't enjoy a whole lot of like these grand strategy historical titles, not historical, just grand strategy overall, like Paradox. I like some of their games, but they're just not my kind of game, I guess, because I'm a bit like Al in this. I think what differentiates Paradox games from the games I like Total War, is the fact that I think the spreadsheet aspect that you mentioned is too obvious in Paradox game because you're looking at a lot of numbers, like, and it's particularly egregious in a game like Crusader Kings where all your relationships like are numbered. Like you can see so this guy likes me plus 20, or this guy dislikes me minus 10, and it just doesn't feel like that's how relations work. Like, so you never know what people think of you. So I get it why the game works like that, but it just doesn't feel right to what the game is trying to represent. But I don't think you have any other choice when it comes to like those kind of relationship games that Crusader or dynastic games that Crusader Kings offers. I just like more. I want to see like the battles. I want to engage in battles. And Paradox games don't offer that, like
yeah.
basically
no.
grand strategy, and I'm
and
more of a tactical guy, so
yeah, that's a big difference. And Al, you were asking about that, and you mentioned Total War games, and I think that's like the major difference that these Paradox games have is they don't focus so much on the battle aspect, and they focus much more on other stuff, with an exception that I'll come down to later, but. Basically, and I see what you're saying, you know, and I kind of have this feeling as well with like, oh, you know, it's plus 10 or just like it doesn't feel that, but it's a gamification, I guess. And I think it could be done better, but I haven't not seen another studio do it better. So I do have criticism for it, but I feel like this is as good as it gets for now. And perhaps in the future, someone else will come and disrupt the market and will surpass Paradox. But for now, this is as good as it gets. If you want to feel like you are, you know, the emperor or the king or whichever of this empire, and you're commanding your advisors to do as you envision your empire should be. If you want to ask Al which game could be for you, one really good way to solve that question is what you're most interested in. And that's something that's really cool about these Paradox games, is that there's all these different games and they each focus on a very different aspect of being a ruler. And they're tied very well with the time period as well. So you mentioned Crusader Kings and the relations. That's a huge thing. If you want to focus on this like individual and like relational based ruling, basically, Crusader Kings is that for you. You have it's all about personal plots, about traits that rulers have, about the relations that you have with each other, and it ties into this feudal system where the feudal lords would basically fight over who gets the favor of the king and so on. And if that's something that could be interesting to you, that's definitely a game for you, then I would say.
So I suppose it's quite interesting, really, because if you consider developers like Firaxis with Civilization, it's just, it's quite formulaic.
It is.
Civ 1, Civ 2, Civ 3. And with very, very little difference between the titles. I mean, even Alpha Centauri, which is very, very old, was that Firaxis as well? It was certainly Sid Meier. It's the same game, just with a different setting. And it sounds like these Paradox games are not doing that. It's not just a case of, hey, let's take Crusader Kings and put it in space.
No, not at all.
And you know, there's a different focus on in each game. There's a different focus on specific types or specific parts of what ruling an empire would be.
Yeah. And you see that. If you like the tactical aspects, and you know, I don't know if you've played Hearts of Iron, that focuses very strongly on like the war aspect, on the tactical aspect. There's also some industry and technology that is not present in a lot of the other games, so like technological advancements and something. Like it's not so relevant in the Middle Ages, technological advancement, but it's very relevant when we're talking about World War II era. So there is that as well for those who want it, but I think it's a bit of a very complex game. It's one of the hardest ones of all Hearts of Iron.
I just want to say that if I ever publish this podcast on strategy and wargaming, a lot of people are going to crucify Tim because he said that Hearts of Iron is a tactical title. Because every time
the most tactical out of all the other Paradox games, it's the most tactical.
Like every time I write something about that has the word tactical or strategy in it, like everyone just has an opinion on that. But I get what you mean. No, when I say that I enjoy tactical titles, what I mean is just like more focused, like so the battles itself rather than the grand scheme of things. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I agree with you. And Paradox has when you can clearly see that when they're designing their games, they can envision what was the main, how do you say, frame of action during that time period. Yeah. So yeah, in Crusaders Kings, it was the feudal system, so a lot of interpersonal relationships. In Europa Universalis, it was mostly exploration and trade.
Mercantilism and
Victoria is all about like the social change of the 19th century, and then when you get into Hearts of Iron, the focus is on logistics and warfare. And I guess it's fair to say that they drill into some specific systems depending on the time period they're on. But I always end up feeling that most the games are very samey, even though the focus is different. So if I look at something like Europa Universalis and Crusaders Kings, they play differently. But at the end of the day, that you could say that the goal is still the same. You just basically paint the map. Of your color, and I don't know. I just think that like Paradox tries to be a jack of all trades and tries to do everything, but I would rather my kind of game is just like something that drills specifically into some aspect of something. And as a great as someone who loves historical titles, I think that you have a lot of great options out there. If you're the kind of guy that likes like, very small settings, if you like very specific battles or something that's really specific, there's a lot of other titles. But yeah, if you enjoy grand strategy and if you like the idea of ruling your empire, I think you would be very hard pressed to find something that rivals the complexity and depth of Paradox games. I could say Total War, but that would not be true at all because Total War is very simple in its strategic layer.
One trouble I have is with Stellaris. What is the focus there in Stellaris? What would you say is like the main idea behind the levers of power?
I have never played Stellaris. I just played the historical titles.
So as we discussed last week with Stellaris, I think we said it does lots and lots of different things, but it doesn't do any of them to a really in-depth degree. So I think what I most enjoy about Stellaris is the empire building side of things. So there's not a focus on economy, not a focus on paint the map. You know, you can play wide, you can play tall. It doesn't have to be expansion beyond all others. And in fact, you're penalized for expanding too far with empire size modifiers. So I think that the whole building an empire as you see fit within your either the premises of the game, the game mechanics, but also with your role play that you're working with at the time, that's the kind of thing that I'd be looking for.
So you're saying that Stellaris lacks a focus, and that might be true, but wouldn't that be because like they have a frame of reference for all other games, but like Stellaris is set on the future, so they can't focus on something specific, right? They need to throw it out there. I think that a game that does space exploration and at least the early parts of it very well is Distant Worlds 2. I don't know if you guys played, but it plays very similar to Stellaris, and I love that idea of space exploration, at least in the beginning when you're figuring
out something
new. And Distant Worlds does this amazing
one,
where you have to find out a lot of technologies. You need to try and figure out how, like, what kind of languages do all the other races use. I'm not sure if Stellaris does that. So what would you say it's your favorite part of Stellaris? I don't want to go to the last week's podcast, but I'm just curious to know, why do you play so much Stellaris? Oh, of course.
I just said that before you rudely interrupted me.
Ah,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So you shouldn't interrupt your elders.
You're very rude. You're very rude, Nuno. No, it is the empire building side of things, and I say there's not a focus on any one thing to the exclusion of all others, and I think that quite generic approach is what appeals. You can do bits and pieces of everything. So w when you talk about Crusader Kings with this deep focus on your lineage, on your relationships, that perhaps overshadows other parts of the games.
It
So
does.
if you're heavily into tactical battles or managing an economy or anything like that, or
No.
building a settlement, you can't do that in Crusader Kings because,
No.
or maybe you can, but
But
just to,
it's very superficial. It's extremely superficial.
yeah,
And then you spend most of your time like looking after your children and making sure that your succession is good because you have the succession laws where your lands are divided up among your children, but you're gonna only play as the main inheritor of your lands. So you're gonna have to
Yeah.
like plan and plot like who is gonna marry who and so on. That's what
And
you
then,
spend most of your time on. And then like the rest of the stuff is like some side stuff. Like, okay, yeah, sure, I'll move the armies around.
but that's neither here or there in terms of
No.
it. But I suppose you need the armies to go and conquer other lands, or
Yeah.
you marry into different dynasties to take over their lands. Is that
Well,
one of
you
the
can do
mechanics of
either.
how it works?
You can do either. So there's still a little bit of warfare, but it's not very developed. And when you look at something like Hearts of Iron, you can like design your tanks, which kind of guns you research to put on these things and the armor, and then like how much penetration is there on each. And then like in Crusader Kings, like, yeah, okay, I'm gonna make some more units and then I'm gonna send them over there and okay.
So I think that's what I'm looking for. So let's say I am going to try another Paradox Interactive game, which isn't Stellaris and which isn't Cities Skylines, and I want that whole experience. I don't want to focus on, and I played Crusader Kings, but I played for about, I don't know, an hour when I just thought this just is not for me. I'm not interested in seeing who marries who. This is, my life is a soap opera. I don't need my games to be a soap opera as well. It wasn't really something which interested me. Hearts of Iron, I've
I
never been a
think,
huge
given
fan
that
of World War II.
you're British, so your game of choice should be either Europa Universalis, where you're basically colonizing everything, or Victoria 2, which has the name of one of your most famous queens. And no, I'm kidding, of course, but I think that, like, the reason why I say that is that because Europa Universalis feels like the most generic one. It
Yeah, it does.
doesn't focus, like, Hearts of Iron focus on logistics, like Crusader Kings focus on relationship, and Europa Universalis focuses on generic empire building most of the time, while it has that aspect of exploration that pretty much every strategy game has, or at least that we're used to having in most games. So I think it's the best entryway kind of game that Paradox has. I think it's like the most generic of all, at least from the historical ones.
Yeah, I would agree with that, but I have a bit of a controversial opinion, and I would say that
Oh boy.
Victoria is probably one of the better games, because I think that it does very well with not being a map painter. It's one of your criticism of Paradox games, and Victoria, it doesn't incentivize map painting at all, and it's much more about managing your existing empire. and maybe adding a little bit here and there, but mostly about, okay, this is your empire that you have and you have to manage it. There's like internal strife and discontentment, and there's different factions that you have to manage and so on, and the technological progress and all of that. And the economy is a huge thing as well in Victoria. There's like the global markets, there's like specialization, there's like the influence that inventions have on the economy, and it changes a lot over time of the duration of the game. You have to adjust massively to the changes that technology makes and so on. And you can go bankrupt. This is something that's really cool. If you can go bankrupt in a game and fail super hard, it means that there's a real challenge that you have to uphold. And you're not just looking to make the thing go a little bit bigger, but you're also kind of like it's a real struggle. And I think that's really powerful, a struggle like this.
Yeah, that's why I said that Europa Universalis is probably the best, because most people are used to that painting aspect and always asking for which game she should start. So that's why I said that. Because I agree with you. Victoria is probably it might not be the best. I'm not sure, but it's one of the most interesting time periods to game on. So I think you're right. I just said that for someone who never played an historical Paradox title, I think that Europa Universalis might be
probably
the more generic one.
Is Europe? I can never say it. Europa Universalis. Is number four the most recent one?
Working on a fifth one, actually.
The guy that designed that game is French, and I interviewed him, and I could have asked him, how do you say that? So now I'm feeling bad about it. But how would the French
say it
guy
very differently to me?
How would the French guy say that? Tim, you're French.
Universalis.
See?
I don't know.
Come again? So the fourth one is the most recent one.
And they're working on the fifth one.
It came out.
So I actually do own Europa Universalis 4. I do own it. I've just checked my Steam library. Playtime, 24 minutes.
Yeah, that's not a lot. It is hard to get into. It is hard to get into, and you get overwhelmed really easily by everything that there is. And you're playing 100 hours into it, and you're still like completely unaware of like tons of stuff that is happening in the background. That you're like, oh wait, this—that's why I've been struggling with this whole time. Oh my goodness, I can't believe it.
Because of the spreadsheets.
It's just okay. Here's the thing: it came out a while ago, and then all the DLC added. Every single DLC added a whole bunch of mechanics. Now there's like a huge bloat of mechanics, and you have a million different things you can keep track of, and you can do, and invest in, and change, and adjust, and so on. It happens with these Paradox games that over time they get a little bit bloated. And I think that's why they're moving on to a fifth one, to be honest, because they've noticed that.
Okay. Well, it's an interesting point, and I think we're going to move on to something which I think is something which Nuno wants to weigh in on. This is where he does his famous burning bridges thing. You mentioned the bloat and the addition of mechanics because of all of the DLCs. Now, and I think we mentioned this last week, about Paradox's business model is heavily into releasing downloadable content, payable downloadable content.
I think they rely on that too much.
That's their business model, and it's a business model that works. Okay, when I say it works from a commercial perspective, because clearly they are one of the most successful, popular developers within the genre that we're interested in. But I want to ask Nuno why it displeases him so much.
It's not like you're saying that it works, but like in 2024, I think they lost like 90% of their EBITDA, so they took a massive hit. Not just because of not releasing DLC, but a lot of other things that went wrong. and they canceled a number of games, so like Prison Architect and the other one about it was very similar to The Sims that I can't recall the name right now. But the reason why I dislike that is just
is it Second Life? It's not Second. Is it
no,
Second?
No, no. Second Life is another. I can't remember the name of the game, but yeah, it was it looked promising. In fact, it's kind of sad that they decided to can it. But the reason why I dislike that is just because I think games should mostly be somewhat accessible to new players. And like, if you're the kind of person that didn't bought Europa Universalis when it came out in 2012, I think, I don't know, 2013. I mean, if you look at the Steam page for that game, the whole experience is gonna cost you hundreds of dollars. It's a bit daunting, I think. Yeah, of course, the base game is very cheap, but I'm not even sure how they manage like to keep everything together when they adding new DLCs, they're removing mechanics, they're revamping mechanics, and how does it stay intact for the base game if you don't have anything else? But the reason I like that is just because Paradox ended up doing a thing that I think most people feared the most, which was they started to release bare bones titles, and then they said, oh, okay, so we can release like a working game but it's not very rich, it's not very, it doesn't have a lot of stuff, it's just basic, and then if you want to engage with more interesting stuff, you need to keep shelling out more and more money. And I think that's what happened with their room game, like the Imperator, right?
So I think that's not 100% it, simply because what it does allow, this model, and there's, of course, yeah, this huge flaws on the model, but at the same time, it allows them to keep a huge development team actively working on these games and receiving feedback from the players, adjusting the game, improving the game. And important thing to note is that a lot of, every time there's a DLC that comes out, it's bundled with all a bunch of free stuff that is given to everybody else, like the crucial mechanics that everyone enjoys, even if you didn't buy the DLC. So these DLC basically funds development of the game post-release and is given to everyone for free. And then if you pay for it, you get like some exclusive stuff, obviously. And then that means that a game like Europa Universalis 4 that came out 10 years ago is still developed upon, more than 10 years ago now. It has still seen all this development and improvement for so long that would never have been possible otherwise. And I think there's, well, while I do share some criticism and worries about this, it does have some merits to it. Other studios are not able to do that because they have different models, and because, yeah, you said it, Al, nobody is as successful in this area of the gaming world as Paradox is.
And I suppose they're not mandatory either. You don't have to buy the DLCs.
No.
And,
no,
as you,
no.
And as you say, with every DLC, I noticed this with Stellaris, with every DLC there tends to be certain mechanics which are changed, improved upon, mm-hmm. Released alongside. So everybody benefits from the ongoing development of the title. And if you elect to buy the DLC as well, then you get access to more. But you don't have to.
Yeah,
and this is the thing. This is the thing when I'm talking about trying out Europa Universalis 4 again, going back to it and expanding upon my 24 minutes of playtime. Do I need to invest hundreds of pounds in the DLCs in order to enjoy or experience? Because I'm going to say I'm not necessarily going to enjoy it. I'm a masochist. Do I need to invest all of that money to be able to enjoy it? Or can I play the base game and still enjoy the base game?
I have a great suggestion for you there. Because so just to rewind that a bit before I answer your question, I just think that what this model ended up doing is that I don't want to say that they got lazy, because it's not true, but some games and like Imperator, Rome, and Victoria 3, I think, are the most notorious ones, were released on a very bare bones state. Victoria 3, not 2, I'm sorry. With the idea that, yeah, you can just add stuff afterwards. And
so is it worse than lazy? Is it greedy?
I'm not sure. I think that sometimes it might be just disingenuous to think that, yeah, let's see if we can do that. Because
it should
like,
have been early access. It should have
yeah.
been at least labeled as early access.
Because I don't think it was greedy. Because when they realized that this was not a very good business model after Imperator flopped, because when Crusaders Kings 3 came out, it basically had everything that Crusaders 2 had. And it's a fantastic game just from the get-go. And what I was going to say to you all is that if this trend is to continue, maybe you should wait for Europa Universalis 5 and it's going to have everything that Europa Universalis 4 had. And you're just going to get...
Will it?
We don't know.
But will it? And this is,
I don't know.
And this is,
I don't know.
This is the thing that we discussed last week as well about there being a lack of Stellaris 2 is because... There's still development going on Stellaris 1.
Yeah, but do you need it?
And well, this is the thing. The issue is, will there be pickup on a sequel when people have invested so much money and time and mods into the first game?
I think
is that why they don't go for sequels?
That's a huge issue that this model has, for sure.
I'm not sure, because like you said, Crusaders Kings 3 is a sequel to one of their most successful titles, and it had everything that the previous one had, and now they're going into a whole other, like, new, somewhat, like, subgenre of grand strategy with their RPG mechanics and all that. So they're improving on it still, and I think you can always improve upon it. The question is, do you really need a new Stellaris game at the moment? And I'm not sure, because I haven't played it. But what I would say is, I don't know how Europa Universalis 5 is going to pan out, but if it works as well as Crusaders Kings did, I think it's worth a try, at least. And I'm
when is that due to be released?
I'm not sure.
Is there a release date for that
no,
yet?
I don't think so. They released a couple of screenshots. They didn't even mention that it was Europa Universalis, but from the empires or the regions that were available, you could see that it was. But I don't think you have news on that. But I suppose the game shouldn't take too long to come out. I guess that this is old. Old news right now, so I would say probably this year, hopefully, because I'm really curious to see how that is going to turn out, actually.
So one other thing to mention is that the another way that they're kind of a little bit generous as well is, for example, if you play multiplayer and one of you has the DLC, then everyone receives the benefits of the DLC. Which a lot of other games like Anno 1800 or something like that, they're too greedy to do that. So I think there's way worse examples of greediness in the industry, and they're on the more generous side when it comes to this.
Oh, definitely. We can start burning bridges again if you'd like.
And
there are a lot of companies.
And it's what I mentioned in the very beginning. Like, all this criticism is very valid, but at the end of the day, I don't get this much fun and this much of, like, feeling like I am ruling an empire in this time period and making these decisions with any other game as in-depth and complex and grand as with Paradox. And I think Paradox is even behind the genre being noticed as an independent genre, a grand strategy. I think that they're the biggest drivers of that, and I think that's something to be applauded.
And I think it's a great. They did a fantastic job bringing people to be interested in history and in strategy games, so it's undeniable that they left their mark on the gaming sphere.
Sometimes, I sometimes see that like in Reddit threads or something, or in person, like someone will talk about like an obscure historical facts, and like, and someone else will be like, oh, how do you know that? And then they'll be like, oh, well, I played Europa Universalis, and then there, you know, there's this empire here with this kind of event that happened, and I know about it because, you know, that's kind of cool, you know, that it interests people like that in these topics. Well, one question that I have is like, for you guys, we have all these time periods and these aspects of games. Is there either a time period or maybe a region of the world or maybe a kind of empire ruling aspect that we have not seen that you would like to see from them? Because before Stellaris was there, I was thinking I would like to see this in space. But now we have that. Is there anything else?
Modern day. With a focus on politics, I think would be very interesting and different.
Oh yeah, politics. Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Like maybe you could be like, instead of being someone or an empire, maybe you could be a political party trying to gain your. So maybe it's like similar to a game like Democracy, but like in grand strategy. Yeah. And then you can manage your country. Like it would be interesting because if the game was to replicate like modern day. Politics, it would be very hard to just like start painting the map on your own powers.
Yeah, I mean, you can't invade your neighbors. Like, that's just a thing. I mean, you can try, but it doesn't bring you a lot of goodness.
So, yeah, it would be very interesting to see, like, with the focus on politics. The other one I would say, of course, is on medieval times, but you already have Crusader Kings, And you all.
Would it still be a grand strategy game if you couldn't invade your neighbors?
Sure, yeah. But I mentioned earlier, you have tons of these games where the main focus is not warfare. Like in Victoria, like you can go to war and there's a war aspect, but the war is like very dumbed down. And also it's just not that incentivized because you have like these alliances and it means that other people protect certain areas and then you have like a really big war and then you gain like very little from it and it's just more effective to invest in like economy and so on.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, modern day has always been something which I would like to see and I think a political slant to that would be quite interesting, but not as a political party, or maybe as a political party, but with control of a nation. You can have your interactions with, I mean, we live in a very joined up world now, don't we, despite without getting too political, despite Brexiteers trying to ruin everything, we're here with me from the UK, Tim in Poland and Una in Portugal, right? So fuck Brexit, we're still united, and I think we live in a very joined up, small, in the nicest sense of the way, small world. And I think that being able to, any game with a political focus, you need to be able to engage with everybody else around the planet, because that's what happens these days.
And Democracy is a really good example, actually. If anyone hasn't played it, it is very sandbox game, which fits very well with Paradox as well, and it's a really cool game where you have this feeling of like, I wonder if I was a ruler and I would imply these policies, like what would it look like, what would be the result of that, and you have this really sandbox feel of that. But it's missing a lot of visual aspects of it. It feels very spreadsheet as well, in that sense. And then I think Paradox could indeed actually bring that more to life. And I would be actually super excited to play that. So yeah, when we're talking that they're doing too much DLC, maybe that's something that they should look to develop a new, fresh franchise.
Yeah, I think the idea of a party is just, it would be very interesting to work with that on a democracy, because like, you don't have, you're not a totalitarian regime. I can like something.
I mean, maybe you could be.
Oh yeah, you could turn it into that, but I think it would be more interesting if you could just like, you'd have to work with other parties, so we'd also have somewhat of personal relationships in there as well, and try to manage other stuff rather than just your country. So yeah, I think it would be very interesting to see, and I can see a lot of memes popping out from that game. I think, like, we
Yeah,
forgot to mention
absolutely.
that Paradox games are super. People love to meme on that. Like, due to the sandbox nature of it, people just decide to, oh, now in Crusaders Kings, I'm gonna take, like, this weird protectorate, like, on the corner of Europe and turn it into a massive empire or something like that. I'm not going into Hearts of Iron 4 because that would be probably too much for this one. But yeah, people love to meme with this game. Did you know in Crusaders Kings you can turn your ruler immortal by doing some shady ritual?
No way. It's like an Easter egg thing.
Yeah, I think in Crusaders Kings you could turn your guy into a vampire. Yeah, it's like you have a quest, and if the quest goes well, your guy becomes like immortal. So
But it's
it's
like
really cool.
obscure stuff. Like it's not like you don't encounter that usually. You have to like know what you're doing, and it's a bit like cheat codes or something.
It's probably like one of those things that happen once every 100 games or something like that. But yeah, it can happen. It's really weird. They do a lot of this stuff.
Isn't the game focused on your dynasty and
That's why
having your
it's funny. Like, imagine you
I'm
can
being very
have.
grumpy. Doesn't sound very funny to me. It sounds like it's just the entire premise of the game is gone,
Yeah, but
hasn't it, at
it's
that
supposed
point?
to be funny, that's all. Old man
Okay.
doing old man stuff. Oh, just being grumpy.
Hey, leave me alone.
But you didn't told us what would be your favorite or your setting.
I did. I agreed with you, but
I think we're in agreement on this.
I think that you've got issues with your ears because that's twice. Where I'm
I
saying
don't
that
wanna.
you don't you, you just don't hear me. I need to be heard. The
But I
Cold
just
War.
ignored you.
Oh,
Oh, Cold
I
War.
think
Yeah,
yeah, the Cold War.
yeah.
So taking your political idea and putting it into a Cold War setting. With the option to not play as the United States and or not to play as the USSR, but to play as one of the client states, one of the satellite states, or somebody entirely different, somebody
Espionage?
non-aligned.
Espionage?
It could be a
Yeah.
huge part of the game.
Because and everyone. Yeah, go ahead.
And when we talk about the war aspect, the risk. So you make the war very accessible because you can always go to war, but there was a lot of proxy wars. If you look at the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan and the Mujahideen, there was lots of proxy wars that went on. But the risk of going full-blown war is the end of the game because it's the end of the human race.
I have great news for you both. There's a game coming out published by Hooded Horse called Espiocracy, where instead
I've
of
seen
playing,
that.
like, you don't play a client state, but what do you play as is intelligence agency, so like the CIA, and so you're basically just doing CIA stuff all over the world, and it's set during the Cold War. Oh, it's a very interesting take on it. There's not a lot of gameplay yet, so not a lot to go by, but the premise itself is super interesting, where you're not managing like
It
an
certainly
army.
is, yeah.
Yeah, you're not managing an army, you're not managing economy, you're not managing your country, like, you're just doing all the shady stuff intelligence agencies do. And I think that game is going to be really, really fun. And I'm and it's also a grand strategy game, so very similar to
Yeah.
Paradox, so you play across the whole war. So maybe give it a look. I think you guys might
I
enjoy
do
it. I will.
feel like Hooded Horse is trying to be the new Paradox Interactive, but they're focused on the publishing part, so it's not a one-to-one comparison. But no, that is true. But it is exciting, this whole espionage aspect, because I do feel like in every other game that has espionage, I just feel disappointed with the whole mechanic. I think it can be really cool, but it's always like this little add-on, and like you get like some spy agents, and then you send them over and you sabotage something, and you like feel like great, but you never have like much of a interaction with it. It's very shallow usually, and then I think maybe it requires like a whole game focused on it to really feel like a full aspect.
Mm-hmm. Where you can overthrow governments rather than just go and sabotage a outpost.
In some of, and in a lot of your Paradox games, you can overthrow even a government with espionage, but it just, I don't have a solution, but it just doesn't feel that interesting.
Any final thoughts?
I would say I enjoyed Paradox games tremendously, but I hope for some adaptation and some pivoting, and I think they need that. Some freshness, yeah.
So a new franchise is what you want to see.
New franchise, doing something a bit differently, which is tough because they have so much expertise in exactly what they've been doing, right? Mm-hmm. But I think they need some freshness, some new direction, some new mechanics, something like that, yeah.
New and engine, that's the risk, isn't it?
It is. That's the huge risk. It's do or die, really, because, I mean, yeah.
You do something new and it doesn't work, and that's mm-hmm. a lot of time, money, effort wasted, which is probably why we're seeing this theme at the moment where everything is a sequel. One game we've mentioned is Europa Universalis 5, which hasn't even been announced yet. Project Caesar, I think, is what they're calling it. And people are assuming.
It's a safe bet.
Four was successful. Bring out number five. It will be successful. Lack of innovation, but that's perhaps a subject for another time. Nuno, any final thoughts?
No, I just wish they can recover from the bad year that they have and that they continue improving their games, and hopefully like Europa Universalis is going to be fantastic, because I really want to dive into Europa Universalis, but I don't want to do it right now because I would rather wait. And maybe some guy at Paradox listens to this and decides to create like the modern day equivalent of that. So yeah, other than that, I think I don't hate their game. They just they're just the kind of thing that is really not my stuff. I'm more excited for other games, but hopefully Europa Universalis 5 will change that, so we'll see.
When Paradox release a Cold War espionage title, we want to make sure we get credited.
Yeah,
there we go. You heard it here first, folks.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, thanks for coming and speaking to me tonight. Always appreciate it, and always lovely to see you both. For our listeners, the best thing you can do to support us, and it's really, really helpful, is if you share this episode with someone else who you think will enjoy it. That's the best way to get the Critical Moves message out there. So please do, and please join us next week, where we are going to be talking about, we don't know yet. Nuno is going to come to us next week with a subject which we are entirely unprepared for. It could be a complete waste of time. It could be
It's probably going to be a complete waste of time.
It's probably going to be a complete waste of time. It might be a shit episode.
But, it's probably going to be a shit we'll episode enjoy it anyway. As well.
And I'm going to have fun with it.
Yeah, me too. That's the important thing. As long as we're still enjoying ourselves, that's all that matters. So with that said, I'll bid you all good night. As always, take it easy. Adios.
It was a pleasure. Cheers.
Goodbye, everyone.